Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CCL Products (India) Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Ashika Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak Saha from Ashika Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saha.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Ashika Institutional Equities, it's indeed a great pleasure to host the 4Q FY26 and full year 26 earnings call of CCL Products Limited. Joining us today to discuss the earnings for the fourth quarter and full year ended 31st March 2026 are Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. B. Mohan Krishna, Executive Director, Mr. Chaitanya Agasthyaraju, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. I would now like to hand over the call to Praveen, sir, for his opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you. Over to you, Praveen, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Deepak, and thank you, team Ashika Institutional Equities, for hosting this call. Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the fourth conference call of FY25-26. And now let me give a brief overview of the company's performance for the fourth quarter and the year gone by. The group has achieved a turnover of 1,226.39 crores for the fourth quarter, which is as compared to 839.65 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year, achieving a growth of 46%. The EBITDA stands at rupees  193.76 crores as against rupees  167.1 crores, which is a growth of 16%, while the profit before tax is rupees 123.1 crores, growing at 16%, and the net profit stands at 114.53 crores with a growth of 12%. As far as the full year is concerned, the group has achieved a turnover of 4,465.80 crores as compared to rupees 3,114.2 crores for the corresponding previous year, achieving a growth of 43%. The EBITDA stands at rupees 741.38 crores as against 563.54 crores, which is a growth of 32%, while the profit before tax is rupees 460.74 crores, growing at 31%, and the net profit stands at 388.11 crores with a growth of 25%. The domestic business has achieved a gross turnover of 650 crores approximately, out of which the brand sales were around about 440 crores. And now Continental as a brand is well established as the number three player in the country, and in some regions and platforms, we are also the number two player, and we will look to further strengthen this position in the coming months and years. As far as green coffee prices are concerned, they remain to be stable as of now, which is a good sign. The Brazilian crop is around the corner, and with the positive news of good supplies, we have a belief that the prices could further soften in the coming months. The Middle East crisis does pose a challenge with a bit of supply disruptions and energy price increase, but we have managed the situation well and do not see much of disruption going forward. I will just ask Chaitanya, our CFO, to give a little bit of a color on the balance sheet performance, post which we will open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Adding to what is highlighted by CEO, we are closing the financial year on a very strong note with revenue and profit both growing significantly for the quarter and for the full financial year. A key area of focus for us this year has been strengthening of the balance sheet. We have always been delivering very good operational results with a CAGR of close to 20%. What we have done this year is to ensure that the operational results get translated into a real balance sheet strength. The balance sheet right now is much leaner, cleaner, and a lot healthier with healthy cash flows and debt coming down significantly. The net debt as of 31st March is around 1,073 crores, a reduction of more than 750 crores from last year. Debt to equity is at 0.5 compared to 0.92 a year ago. our net debt to EBITDA is at 1.45 right now compared to 3.1 a year ago. With that, I hand over to Deepak for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to check what would be our volume growth for the quarter. Also, has the EBITDA per kg, which is a key metric we track, has it come down to a level of about 130, which is a bit down sequentially from maybe the 140 that we saw in the previous quarter? And what is driving the strong realizations on the top line for us to have clocked this kind of a growth? Thanks.
Yeah, hi Abhishek. Just to clarify, sorry, the first thing that you asked was on this thing. If you could...
On the volume growth, sir. On the volume growth for the quarter.
So our volume growth, you know, has been, and I'm speaking on a little larger four-quarter perspective, has been in the range of 18-20% this year. And the quarter was also very similar. So volume growth stands at that level. And, you know, EBITDA per kilo, again, probably this quarter was a little bit of a down considering the, you know, the proportion of coffee that you sell, because if you would have seen last quarter, but much higher high margin coffees were sold. But on an annual basis, in fact, the EBITDA per kilos has improved from previous year. So that's an improvement. And, you know, as we have been guiding most of the time, some of these key metrics on a quarter level may not give the right picture. So while one sees a sequential drop a bit, but I don't think so there's much to read into that. On an annual basis, in fact, the per kilo EBITDA has improved.
Oh, great, sir. Just a follow-up second question, sir. We have earlier given the guidance for 10-20% volume growth and maybe a 15-20% EBITDA growth. Anything changing for FY27? How is our guidance looking now?
So the guidance is very similar. Probably we are giving a guidance of both volume at around 15% and even EBITDA at around 15%. So that will be the thing. While things have stabilized, quite a few things have stabilized since the last year. But, you know, keeping the other volatility in mind, we are sticking to the volume growth guidance of 15%. And the resultant EBITDA growth will also be in the same region.
Great. And finally, the guidance on the India business and also any CapEx thoughts that we have, capacity expansion thoughts that you have right now. That's it for me.
So, you know, while there have been discussions, we are looking at things related to capacity. But, you know, as far as next 2 years are concerned, we are generally, you know, good for our growth aspirations, our capacities are good. But, you know, there could be certain areas where we would like to kind of see if the growths are more. For example, we have seen better utilization for freeze-dried. So if that is happening much faster, at a much faster rate, the utilization, we could look at, you know, not necessarily a capacity expansion, but maybe a strategic tie-up or things like that. But these are things we will be able to comment on when we come closer to a decision or date. Obviously, there are discussions that keep happening on a regular basis. But on a largely on a, you know, on a long-term basis for the next 2 years, we are good as far as capacity is concerned. As far as domestic business is concerned, as I told in the narrative that out of the 650 crores that we did in the India business, 440 crores odd were, you know, the retail business, the branded business. And we'll continue to drive, you know, similar growths in the coming years also. We are seeing very good traction in a lot of areas, And it is important at this stage that we keep driving those growth traction. So that will automatically, you know, come through. So we will keep up the momentum on the branded business as well.
Great, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhay from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi. So I just wanted your outlook on the D2C business segment firstly. Secondly, is the margin contraction, can that entirely be attributed to the coffee prices? And in general, also, what's your outlook on coffee prices in the coming quarters?
So I'll answer your second question first and then come to the first one. The second question, there actually is no margin contraction. So, you know, the margin contraction that you see is basically because we are seeing as EBITDA as a percentage to top line, and therefore it is only optical in nature. As we have always maintained that our business works on, you know, per kilo EBITDA, where there is no contraction. But because the prices, coffee prices increase, and we who are modeling as a cost plus model, therefore what it seems that the top line kind of, you know, in times of rising coffee prices, the growth looks more inflated. So let's say if we take the 46% growth top line, it is a combination of 18-20% volume growth and another 20-25% of coffee prices increases that gets built into the top line. And therefore, EBITDA as a top percentage top line looks, you know, contracted, but it is not. Because what will happen, the opposite will happen, you know, probably going forward when in the base you have higher green coffee prices, and going forward the green coffee prices could soften. And therefore, you may see in spite of 15% volume growth, you may see lower value growth. But what we always say that how the basic metrics is to be looked upon is the volume growth, the EBITDA growth, and are they growing in line with each other or not. And that's the guidance also we are giving for the future, that in line with the volume growth of 15%, around about that number, we also look to drive EBITDA also in the same region. So that's the answer to your second question. And therefore, what it means is that the volatility in coffee prices does not affect our margins. Because the moment we do contract, we, you know, do back-to-back buying of green coffee, which means that we are guarded against any fluctuations, if at all it happens in the coffee prices. So that's the answer to your second question. The first question, as far as D2C is concerned, we are doing extremely well on D2C. Most of the platforms, we are very strong with double-digit market share. And in a few of the platforms, we are also the number two player in the category. So we are doing extremely good. Approximately, you know, 20 to 25% of our sales come from the online channel, which is a very good marker for the business that we are doing.
Got it. Another question was just the CapEx front, but I think that's been answered already. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Feeden AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. Firstly, on inventory days. So now I was just looking, I mean, because of the softening of coffee prices, the inventory days are almost for us are at historical lows. So do you see any further improvement in inventory days over the next 2 years, assuming that the coffee prices stay at these levels or even move down further from here? And secondly, I think we are, because we don't have any major capex for the next 2 years, our operating cash flow is actually going to be very strong. So what is the management thinking about going forward for utilizing these funds, whether it will be increasing dividend payouts or any acquisitions or any other thing?
So, two things. First was about the inventory cycle. Of course, yes, you are right. Lowering of coffee prices and the better visibility has helped us tighten the inventory cycles. And it's just not the inventory cycles. There are hosts of other efficiencies that we have been able to bring in most of our operations. So that's an ongoing process. Do we think that as a guidance we would like to lower it from the place that it is? I don't think so. We're giving in guidance to of lowering of inventory cycles from here on. We would love to kind of maintain it, better it. Of course, we'll do our best. But as a guidance, I would not like to kind of give a guidance of lowering it further from here, because we will take it as things come along. So that's on this thing. Of course, yes, you have pointed it right. We will have, you know, cash flows coming in. And now as far as how do we utilize it, there is no commitment as of now, but the things that you spoke about, most of the things we are thinking about, and we are thinking, yes, if there's an opportunity in the areas of any good acquisition that comes our way, would definitely love to evaluate those. And we'll make sure that we are using these, you know, flows to maximize the returns for the stakeholders in whatever way we can.
Understood. So, I mean, and just whether it will also be used for reduction in debt from here on, I mean, we are at a
It is actually, yes. So, yeah, of course, matlab, you know, it won't come to zero, but definitely, there is a certain reduction that has already happened, and a significant reduction. In fact, we were not, if last year, if you would have heard us, our guidance was at around 1,400-1,500 crores, but we have reduced it to 1,080, I think, possibly, around about that number. Maybe there could be a certain more reduction, but again, all will depend on, because even our growth numbers are there. We are at 15% volume growth is what we are thinking. So which means that you require 15% more working capital to fund this growth. So, but you know, how much of this gets offsetted by lower coffee prices and all that? So we will take things as it comes along, but definitely the idea would be to, and you know, the long-term debts will anyways get paid, so there will be reduction in the long-term debt. Working capital will take it up as things come along. But definitely all the efficiency measures are being put in place to improve the ratios and the parameters as much as possible. So maybe, yeah, the CFO is saying that probably with a 15% growth, probably 1,100-1,200 is the level that we probably could be seeing in the next year.
Understood. Just lastly on CapEx again. So I mean, currently, what is our capacity utilization on a consolidated basis globally? And assuming
Yeah.
And I mean, you said that we'll be good for next 2 years, but for a new plant, would it be greenfield or brownfield? And I mean, will it, what time will it take for a new CapEx to come on board once we start executing it?
So, okay, first and foremost, our annual utilization would be around 65% or so, couple of percentage here or there. Last quarter was a little better at maybe 70%. So that's why I said we are good for another 2 years. It does take, you know, 1.5 to 2 years to materialize the CapEx. But, you know, the thing is that, whether it will be greenfield, brownfield, we go into a strategic tie-up, it will all depend on how things shape up. There could be a scenario that we don't put our own CapEx, but we end up doing some sort of a, you know, capacity strategic tie-up, or we end up buying capacity, underwriting capacity of somebody else, or we may ourselves think that we want to put a brownfield that also is on the cards. But all of this, it is a little too premature to talk to. We'll definitely keep you posted if there is any development on this front, because a lot could change as we go along. Depends on, you know, what kind of product the utilization is better. But at an aggregate level, we are good for 2 years, but it could happen that maybe on a atypical a type of product, we could be seeing, you know, better utilization than 2 years. So it'll all depend how things go from here. On a broad basis, yes, we are good for 2 years. What do we put next? We are all evaluating and watching the situation very closely, how growths are panning on, which areas, which geographies, and accordingly, we'll take a decision going forward.
Understood. I was only asking from that point of view, because we are hearing that Indian players are gaining significant market share globally, plus our peers are also talking about strong volume growth. I was, you know, just trying to
Absolutely.
Understand that way. Whether of our volume growth, what we are guiding, if we achieve materially higher than that, so we should not be caught in the wrong foot in terms of having
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not having enough capacity there.
Yeah. So that is an assurance we are giving, that we will not let capacity come in way of growth. So we will make sure that we do kind of, you know, get the capacity required to fulfill our ambitions.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kashyap Javeri from Emkay Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and congratulations, team, for great numbers. Just one question. I missed out on the number of CapEx for FY27 if that was discussed. If you can repeat that number.
So, Kashyap, there is no CapEx for 27. We didn't say there would be any CapEx. As we have been maintaining next 2 years, there will be some maintenance CapEx of maybe 25 to 30, 35 crores. But these are very small CapExes. There is no planned big CapEx planned as of now for the next 2 years. So, yeah.
So, just trying to reconcile this number. I think what Chaitanya mentioned was that our debt next year closing could be roughly about 1100 crores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if let's say our sales grow by about 15%, that's additional mm-hmm. about 700 crores of sales. At about 120 days, that would need just about 200 crores worth of cash. You add mm-hmm. about 30 crores, which will come from the maintenance capex. That should still leave a significant number in terms of free cash to repay the debt. So mm-hmm. then, does that mean that we would retain cash on the book? Is that assumption correct?
Not really. You know, so Chaitanya is a little bit conservative considering the volatility that has been there in the market. So we would like to kind of err on the right side than on the wrong side. Definitely, as per your calculation, there will be cash in the books. But as I said, that there are multiple ways to figure out things. Right now, while we are doing a lot of evaluation, not wanting to commit on any one aspect or the other.
Right.
Given a chance, obviously we would like to retire debt rather than keep it on the books for long periods of time. So that that goes without saying. Yeah. But we don't know. Yeah.
Understood. So, if coffee prices remain where they are, this ceteris paribus, the calculation is in the right direction.
In the right
but
direction,
like
absolutely.
You said, there could be, if there is any plus minus in either of these assumptions, then obviously what
there could be,
would be. Thank you so much. And congratulations again for a great set of numbers.
Yeah. Thank you, Kashyap.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Garg from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. I would like to bring attention to you a little bit about the business side of things. As we have seen the coffee market in India shift from stay-dried coffee to freeze-dried coffee and even to roasted blends. So what do you believe would be your plan to shift that demand in the company as well? And since we're also talking about DTC demand that has grown to 20% this year, so what is your plans and brand visibility as we again mentioned that freeze-dried coffee and roasted blends are majorly focused, the buying is focused on brand visibility, like Blue Tokai and everything. Those brands have majorly acquired that share by creating the taste of coffee and focused towards
personalization. Yeah, okay. So, there was a little bit of a disturbance in your voice, but what I heard you, I'll try and answer that. And probably a couple of answers lie in your question as well. So, the first thing,
sorry,
is there a shift? There's a lot of...
Mr. Garg, please mute your line, sir. Mr. Garg, please mute your line. Sir, you may proceed.
Yeah. So what I was telling is that, it happens in any category that there will be premiumization. So there is not a shift from a spray-dried to freeze-dried. There is a large chunk of consumers who are still drinking spray-dried and will continue to drink spray-dried. But yes, as it happens in any category, there is always a premiumization that happens. People are always, upgrading to better coffee. And that leads to some of these shifts that where consumers are adopting freeze-dried coffee. And that's the reason we are pretty well equipped to cater to that demand. And that's the reason. And this, in fact, we had predicted a couple of years ago. And that's how we, initiated capacity enhancement in freeze-dried as well. So that is always there. As far as, the shift towards beans is concerned, if you see largely, the consumption of beans is for out-of-home consumption, and in growing market, the out-of-home consumption is growing, and therefore, the usage of beans is growing at a much faster pace. We largely are not into, you know, beans, because that is something that we very localized. There is not much of value addition. So we don't see that market as a very big market for us. But yes, in the Indian context, we do supply to a lot of cafes and a lot of cafe chains, the beans, the roasted beans as well. So that is also something that we are seeing as growth drivers, at least in the local Indian market. As far as your brand building activities question is concerned, yes, we are building the brand. We have developed certain strengths in certain categories and in some areas. So we are taking things forward. It's not necessary that all the categories we will be driving the growth. What we think that will give us the maximum impact are the categories that we are building. So like we started in south of India, we are strengthening our brand presence a lot there. And now we have started building traction in rest of south also. So we're getting good returns from markets like north and west, where our next growth momentum will come from. So all of that is part of our, you know, strategic initiatives going forward. But yeah, there will be certain categories where we will not, knowingly participate, because we want to deploy the resources, at the places where we think we'll get the maximum impact. So I don't know whether I have answered all your questions, because there was some disturbance from your side, but this is our thought process.
Thank you, sir, for answering those questions. Sir, the participant has left the queue. We will move on to the next question. From the line of Vivek Ganguly from TCG AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I had one quick question. Your debt in the balance sheet has come off very significantly by out of 700 odd crores. But we do not see a corresponding reduction in the interest, the finance cost. Can you shed some light on that?
Sure. Like last year, we had a lot of interest capitalized because our Vietnam facility was not at up and running last year, right? So the interest was getting capitalized. So if we take that interest, there is a significant reduction in the interest as well.
Okay. And what would that number have been? And secondly, what was your cost of borrowing as we speak today?
So I may not be in a position to give you exact number that has got capitalized. That should be somewhere around 25 to 30 crores could be probably last year what got capitalized. The cost of borrowing right now hovers between 7 to 7.5, depending on where the borrowing happens.
Okay, got it. Right. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonawala from Samasa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, yeah, Bhavya, you are audible.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I think last 2 years have been really good. Just a couple of questions. First question is, I think you guided 15% EBITDA growth and volume growth for the next full year. So is this with respect to contracts still being short-term, or because it's such a specific guidance, are the customers giving a long-term guidance? So can you throw some light on that?
A lot is changing now. There's some noise that I can hear. I don't know where it's coming from. But yeah, so things are changing. As the coffee prices are stable, we are seeing a lot of long-term contracts. In fact, some of our freeze-dried capacity is quite long-term now. So that is giving a very long-term picture. So there is a movement towards long-term contract, and therefore we can be fairly assured of the guidance that we are giving.
Okay, understood. So just with respect to the guidance, again, I think this year we ended up at 30% growth in EBITDA, and the next year we are guiding 15. So is that considering some conservatism and, you know, keeping in mind coffee prices and other probably issues that might happen? Or anyway, is there some change, because we were guiding 20 and then we obviously revised it upwards 25 in this year.
Right. So there are, couple of things that, went our way this year, and probably, once it gets into their base, there may not be a further improvement there. So for example, this year our proportion of freeze-dried was much higher, right? That proportion may not get even higher next year. So therefore, that benefit we may not get. There are certain efficiencies that we had spoken about that may get built over a period of time. And some of them, you know, got preponed a little bit because we were able to fasten some of these efficiencies. So that got built into the base as well. Some of these small packs where we were able to, you know, fasten the proportions there. So, you know, some of these things are already there in the base and therefore may not come as an additional thing going forward. So therefore, and we have always guided that our EBITDA growth will be in line of volume growth. So since we have guided a volume growth of 15% and we already have built the efficiencies into the bases and proportions into the bases, I don't see this, you know, adding on to anything that we have already built. And therefore, we are giving a guidance that EBITDA also will grow in line with the volume growth, which is around 15%.
Okay, got it. Just the last question, if I may squeeze in. On the branded business, what kind of growth do you think we'll be able to garner in the next 2 years or at least the next year?
So, you know, branded business also this year, we got very, very handsome growth, which was on the back of volume as well as value. So volume was around 25-30% and then we added another 15-20% of value growth. This year, probably because, you know, post GST and post coffee prices softening, I don't see that advantage of value coming in, but we are still committed to driving 25%, kind of a volume growth, which means that the value growth also will be in the same lines. So we are looking to drive that sort of a growth going forward as well.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. My question is related to utilization at FDC capacity at Vietnam and, the capacity enhancement that you had done at India. So what is the annual utilization? What is the run rate currently?
So I'll give you a broad picture. You know, we don't kind of get into too much of details on capacity utilization. It works against us sometimes. But, you know, at a broad level annually, we have, with everything put together, new, old, everything put together, we at approximately 65% capacity utilization. And, I cannot kind of, go into details of Vietnam, India, but freeze-dried was a little higher utilization. As I told earlier, also the proportion of freeze-dried was better. So freeze-dried was higher than the average utilization, but average utilization remained at 65%. Last quarter was a little better at around 70%. So that's where it is.
Okay. And so this year, normally you guide for that our volumes and EBITDA grow in tandem, but this year our EBITDA growth absolute was more than well above 30%, while volume growth was
right. What
it was, 18 to 20.
So
I mean, I understand that there is a mix of FDC and small packs coming in here. But going forward, is there also a possibility that our EBITDA per kg could moderate given the product mix and the fact that when coffee prices soften, a lot of, non-premium customers or traders also come in to get that volume. So would that be a fair assumption?
I think you've asked a very precise question. Yes, there could be a possibility where it could soften. But as I have always maintained, last time also we were saying that we will try and, negate the pluses and minuses and keep it at the levels that they are in, right? So, although technically you are bang on when you say that there could be, a situation where my proportion of SGC could increase. And as you rightly said, if the coffee prices are down, a lot of low margin customers also come into the picture. So that could lead. But as I have told that we are continuously trying to build efficiency, small packs, trying to go to end customers. So all that will also help us and we are very confident that we'll be able to, if at all there is any negative impact, negate through some of these actions. So hopefully we will try and maintain the EBITDA per kilo going forward.
Okay, sure. And so also, from a 2 to 3 year perspective, what kind of guidance would you give for your, domestic sales and branded business especially? Where could it be as a proportion of the total business and will that end up becoming a better growth driver, let's say 3 to 5 years from now as well?
There are two aspects to it. One is that, yes, we are growing the business aggressively. What percentage to the total business will it become? I think that's not the right way to look at it, because the other part of the business also we are growing it aggressively. Yeah. So so that matrix becomes irrelevant. What is relevant that are we growing the B2C business much faster than the category? Are we gaining shares from our lead competitors or not? And are we making this business sizable enough for it to kind of, give it back to the business? And we are well on line to this. And not only in India, we are now looking to expand our B2C business in some of the other geographies as well. And hopefully we will keep building on this vertical as fast as possible. Now going forward, let's say now the India business has become quite quite sizable, at 400 odd crores. It is no longer a very small business. It is quite sizable when you look at from a very absolute, on an absolute term basis. Now we are looking to kind of, every 3 years, we would love to kind of double this and say that, okay, how, where do we go from there? But, in the previous calls, we were also saying that we are also trying to see if there are some other categories we can kind of grow our business into. So a lot of our growth momentum will be dependent on how some of these things shape up. But that's the intent that I would like to tell you, that we are driving things very aggressively, not only in India, but trying to see if we can scale up outside India as well. And in India, can we get into some other categories as well? So all of them is being worked upon. And yes, as a proportion, we'll try and keep increasing the proportion as much as possible.
Yeah, so also we keep investing back in the business, as we grow at least for the next 3 to 4 years, right?
Absolutely. Our intent is that, we don't want to milk this business as of now. We'll keep investing back into the business going forward.
Okay. Okay. And so my last question is, if you could just guide us on the tax rate.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, ma'am. Okay, I would request you to reach me. Thank you so much. We'll take the next question from Naeem Patel from Bastion Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So I would just like to follow up on the last question that what the tax rate, what are we looking forward for that going next 2 to 3 years, considering we have a capacity set up in Vietnam? So that's my first question. And secondly, on the B2C side, we have international brands as well. So what sort of initiatives are we taking in on that account as well? So those are the two questions from my side.
So regarding the first question, the average tax rate at a consolidated level is a combination of different multiple things, in the sense that we have entities which are at full tax, then we have an SEZ which operates at 50% tax, then we have 115 BA entity, then again we have an entity which is completely not taxable. So when we take an average tax rate at a consolidated level, you may have a bit of deviation year on year. Having said that, the average tax rate should be somewhere closer to 17%.
And
international, you were talking about the international brand. So yes, Percol now this year in UK alone is approximately anything between 25 to 30 crores. And there is a bit of India business as well. So we are looking to expand, penetrate not only in the UK market with Percol, but we are now actively looking to take this brand in some of the other geographies as well. So we're talking to a lot of, our partners across countries that how could we take this brand in some of the other countries now that we are seeing this getting established in the UK market.
Understood. And just one last question on the cost of goods sold side. So is it fair to assume this spike in this quarter on year-on-year, this was largely due to the cost-plus model nature of the business and there is no inventory loss or anything? Is that correct way to look at it?
Yeah. Actually, it's not not really about anything else because we work on cost-plus. So the cost of goods sold higher could be dependent on the type of contract one is doing. So this quarter we did a little bit of the proportion of lower margin contracts were higher. So the cost of good proportion is a little higher this quarter.
Understood. That's all from my side. Congratulations again for the numbers and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from Deepak Saha from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi. So first of all, congratulations on great set of number. My question is on the B2C side. So it's very heartening to know that on the quick commerce side, say we are doing 100 crore kind of a number for full year. So what I wanted to understand, since there will be many markets where we will be, mature in terms of compared to other micro markets that we have gone. What broad understanding currently we have that, say, we are giving 30-35% discount and after considering commissions and all at MRP. Now, are there levers to grow that particular number or improve our take rate on some of the mature markets and which can eventually, impact our overall revenue and profitability?
Yeah, definitely. So, Deepak, it's actually directly linked to the equity that you are building. Brands with higher equity will command better pricing, lesser discounts, right? Also, discount is this thing of how the competition is this thing. So what has happened is that because of the aggressive growth that we have been seeing, there is also a very heightened, level of competitive activity. So we have to keep maintaining, pace so that we don't lose grounds that we have gained till now. So having said so, on a, thumb rule basis, as the markets mature, as the brands get, stronger in terms of its equity, your margin profiles keep improving because then you are able to command a better pricing, right? So your discounts could be lesser and things like that. So that pattern will continue, and more strength that we get, the more and more, pricing power also we will get.
Got it, sir. And so what's the feedback on the Malgudi brand that we launched for snacks in our vision to create multiple pillars in the consumer business? So what's the response?
Absolutely. So the response is quite good there. We had done, as I told you, very small, 100 store, 150 stores kind of a pilot. There was a lot of response on various aspects. People have liked the product. There are certain variants where, we are doing some product tweaking as well because there was certain feedback. And hopefully in a month or couple of months' time, you should be seeing a more, broader launch, at least with some of the product categories. So yes, we are going to scale that up pretty soon.
Got it, sir. So last two questions very quickly. We have 60% capacity, 65% capacity utilization, say, and probably we are at the 50,000 kind of a number. I know you guided for 15% kind of a volume growth, but let's assume if at all we get an opportunity, 20%, then and next year, next 2 years, 20% kind of an opportunity, that would be still under 72,000 ton, kind of a volume at aggregate. So overall level, even if this kind of opportunity arises, that would not be constrained to our capacity utilization, right? We'll be able to deliver that kind of a growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Deepak. We'll be able to deliver that kind of growth. We have that capacity. And as I've told earlier also, we are always on our toes. We are making sure that any growth opportunity is not lost because of any capacity, even if it means that we have to do some strategic tie-ups, buy capacity from outside. And you have seen 4 years ago, when we were, we were at 100% utilization, we did take that step to buy capacity from outside and not let the growth rates come down. So that goes without saying we'll not let the growth momentum suffer at all.
Got it. Last question, sir, on the interest cost side to CFO, sir. We have seen 130 crore interest against, FY26. Now, given our debt is gross level 1,280-90 crore, right? So at least on interest cost side against 130 crore, probably 110 crore, 100 and, around that number would be easily we can pull off and we can save 18-20 crore around for the year.
So we have a gross rate of probably around 1,000 to 1,200 levels next year as well, as indicated by CEO in one of the questions. So if you take 1,200 at an average rate of 7.5%, it translates to close to 90-95 crores. So somewhere around 100 crores would be an appropriate number is what I said.
Got it. Very heartening to know. Thanks, sir, and all the best for FY27. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Satpathy from Ampersand Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, congratulations on executing so well. So my question is that there is a huge difference and volatility in your subsidiary performance that you report. And this quarter, for instance, the subsidiaries, made hardly any profit, which is why the consolidated and standalone, there is not much of a difference in profit. And this keeps fluctuating a lot. Can you explain that? That is one. And the second thing is that it looks like there was a decisive shift in your revenue mix towards freeze-dried coffee. And that also you said that as a lower margin contract. Was it some kind of an entry strategy, which is why it is normally better profit should be expected out of this frozen freeze-dried, but it didn't materialize and it will reverse going forward?
So, you know, first and foremost, I think the looking at subsidiaries and trying to add up at the consolidated level is not the right way, because, you know, the business is sort of centralized, wherein, you know, the production planning will have this thing to say that where what gets produced, which customer gets serviced from which this thing. The business development teams at subsidiary levels could be, you know, doing a higher margin business in some quarter, lower margin business in some other quarter. So all of these play a role, and therefore, you know, the consolidated level is a better picture to see. I won't read much into, you know, subsidiary performance, and therefore you see sometimes the volatility in subsidiary performance. And the second part is the freeze-dried thing that you have asked. Yes, there was a higher proportion of freeze-dried. And this also depends on how the markets are shaping up. You know, there are times when the demand for freeze-dried goes up. There are times when demand for, you know, and I actually 2-3 years ago, if you look at long-term patterns, when the coffee prices are high, you will see that there is a little bit of a down-trading. When the coffee prices starts to soften, the up-trading happens. So all these factors play a role in deciding what would be the proportion. And we keep tracking some of these trends that are evolving. And accordingly, not only do our business, but also build our capacities, you know. So that's how we kind of play on this. A lot of this is not driven by us, but it is dependent on the market forces.
Understood. But typically, is it better to assume that the profit of freeze-dried is generally going to be higher?
Yeah. Profit of freeze-dried is always higher than spray-dried.
Okay.
And it's a more premium product, yeah.
There was some contract issue in this particular quarter.
Not contract issue. It's more of a, you know, phasing issue. So there are quarters when you will do, you know, because it is all dependent on when which customer at what point of time wants their goods and all that. So quarterly, there could be variations in these proportions. Some quarters you will see higher proportions of spray-dried, some quarters lower proportion. So yeah, quarter-wise these variations come. And therefore, we always maintain that it is best to see us on a slightly long-term perspective, because quarters could give you a little, you know, varied picture.
Last question, if you can chip
in. Mr. Satpathy, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue for follow-ups, please. There are others who are waiting. Thank you. We'll take the next question from Deepak from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my first question is with respect to our exports. So could you please highlight, like, out of our total exports, how much would be FOB based?
Most of it, almost, if I take exports, 70% of our sales would be FOB based, right?
Okay. And in the CIF-based contracts, are we facing any backlash from our customer to pass on the increased, let's say, insurance or freight cost since this Middle East crisis has started, and we do export to US and Europe as well? So any contract negotiation in terms of rate, or are we able to fully pass on the logistics cost increase to them?
No, so, you know, if you have done the contract earlier on earlier terms and conditions, you will have to take on that, right? So any increase or any this thing in cost in CIF contracts is not a backlash. It is actually a stress on us. So in fact, we go back to them asking for increases, but it may not happen all the time. So not all the costs can get passed through, especially in CIF contracts. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, any disruption are we seeing, let's say, either in terms of any fuel availability or, let's say, shipping routes towards this Western exports, or means how are we managing it, or is it like as of now there is no such disruption that we have observed?
A little bit of a supply disruptions to the clients that we were servicing in the Middle East for some time, but we haven't seen any route disruption because it was only the Strait of Hormuz which was closed, which is only for mostly for oil, not for goods and all. And yes, there has been certain increases in the logistics cost. There has been certain increases in the energy cost. So that is there. Availability wise, we haven't seen any challenge, but there are challenges in terms of cost pressures on certain accounts.
Okay. Helpful, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samay Sabnis from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So when you're guiding for a volume growth of 15% next year, so then what is the blended utilization level that we target to achieve in FY27?
So when you're saying blended utilization, you're saying utilization of the capacity?
Yes.
So, you know, we probably from here 15% on the basis that you can do a back calculation. We are looking at a 7 to 10,000 additional tons of, you know, sales that could happen.
So, like you said, it's 65%, right?
Yeah, so 65 will go to around 72, 73. If I were to be very specific.
Okay, and then that becomes to what level in FY28, which is when you will look for a
capacity? We are another 7-8, so that will become around 80, 82, 85 maybe.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you. That was my one question.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogansh from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So most of the questions have been answered. Just one follow-up on your branded D2C business. So like it has been scaling really well. Last quarter you mentioned about an EBITDA positive it has done. So going forward, what is your expectation? Can we expect the EBITDA to increase or would you like to still maintain it and you know, pull back the money to grow the business further?
Yeah, so we'll keep maintaining the same percentage levels, which means that a large portion of it will be pulled back. As I was mentioning that we are looking at new regions, new categories. So we'll try to kind of develop that also. So it will be in an investment mode in the next 3-4 years.
Got it. And sir, broadly, can you also quantify what was the proportion of small packs in our overall business?
So largely it is around, you know, 20% or so it used to be. And I'm talking about broad this thing because on a very small quarterly basis it becomes difficult to assess. But largely it is in that zone. If you remember 2-3 quarters or let's say last year, we were talking about a number around 15% or so. So it has increased and that has also helped us improve our profitability. And going forward, we are also, and we have last time we had spoken that we are trying to see if we could, you know, go up the value chain as much as possible for a lot of more of our clients. So that that endeavor will continue and we'll try and see if we can improve upon this going forward.
Fair enough, sir. And just last one, if I can squeeze in, the new markets that you want to enter for your branded business, by when can we expect that and what kind of scale should we think about those businesses?
So this one is a little tough to answer, but you know, just to give you a little color that where, what are we trying? So of course, there is one market, which is the US market, which we are actively evaluating that what are the ways and means to enter that market. Vietnam is one more market, which we are evaluating that because we have our setup there. So it makes a lot of sense to see if we can build something there. Now, what is the scale that we want to build? That's a little tough to answer, but you know, if I were to say, UK per call, let's say if it's already a 30 crore or 25-30 crore kind of revenue, we probably are looking to kind of get to 100 crore within maybe 2 years or 3 years or so. So that's the kind of scaling up we will try and do there. As far as the other markets like US and Vietnam, it's a little premature to comment on the kind of scaling because let us seed them first and see how, what is the kind of traction we are getting. I am sure there are certain markets where we'll go wrong as well. So it's not that everywhere or everything that we do will be bang on. So a lot will evolve and closer to our evolution and our understanding that what is going right, what is not going right, we probably will be able to give you a sense of scale. But whatever I can, I've given you a scale that how we are looking to build up some of these markets.
fair enough, sir. That's really helpful. Thank you and all the very best to you and your team, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kenneth Mendonca from TCG AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted some color about for our B2C business about how the non-South growth has been. And secondly, while you have mentioned briefly about reinvesting profits, generally, what is the medium-term profitability trend for the business?
For the B2C business?
Yes.
So, okay, yeah. So, the of course, the non-South business is growing at a faster pace now. Yes, the bases are still very, very small. But we are, you know, putting a lot more effort into these markets to make sure that we build a sizable base here as well. As we speak, our market shares have also seen positive movements in some of the key cities like Delhi, Bombay. So, so probably our efforts are also bearing fruits in these markets. So we are actively, you know, seeking to grow at a much higher clip in these markets than the South markets. So that is there. As far as the profitability, I had already mentioned that we probably are at around 4-5% EBITDA levels. We'll keep the EBITDA levels there so that all the additional profits are plowed back into, you know, building the brand and growing the business. So that will be my, our model. So next 2-3 years, I don't think so. We will look to milk it. So we'll keep the EBITDA levels at the same percentage levels.
Sure, sir. Thank you. And my last question is just given that you mentioned that we are seeing heightened costs due to freight, insurance, and given that largely we are an export business, do we expect any sort of impact on margins despite the guidance you've given?
So, of course, last quarter there was a bit of an impact, a little impact that that we saw. But what I see as we speak, I'm seeing much more stability, and hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed that things only improve from here. So we don't see much of, because, you know, since 100% of our business is on cost plus and 70% is on FOB, a lot of our, you know, these kind of fluctuations are, we are insulated against. So therefore there won't be much of an impact, but I'm hoping, and we all are, that the situation improves from here. So we don't see much of an impact on the guidance that we have given.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So thank you everyone for joining the call. I appreciate Ashika Institute of Securities for holding this call. And we'll all meet in the next quarter. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Ashika Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.